You are listening to the Experience University podcast with Dr. K, Season 7, Episode 6.
Welcome to Experience University, where we aim to educate, inspire, and empower individuals who wish to design transformational experiences. Now your host, Dr. Kristen Malik.
Hello, hello, my friends. I am podcasting live from Las Vegas at IMEX America. It is my 11th year, I believe, 11th or 12th year at IMEX America. It's one of my favorite events to come to. And yeah, it's just crazy. This is my third week of travel. I'm ready to be home. Normally when I travel, it's a week here and then I'm home for a few days and then it's like a weekend here and then I'm home for a couple weeks. And it's just been 3 weeks back to back to back. And I would love to just sleep in my own bed, if that makes sense. I have been doing the most incredible trainings, the incredible workshops. I've been doing speaking. It's crazy, the stuff that I've been doing. I was telling someone earlier today, I said to my friend Anthony, I said, you know, I teach, I plan events, I go to tons of events, I do trainings. I took the LSAT for fun. I am so involved in data and research and just really heavy brain intensive things. And the training that I just came out of was so intensive that I felt like literally when I got back to the room, that my brain was just like scrambled eggs every single day for 2 weeks because it had a lot to do with your unconscious mind and hypnotic language. So using some kind of, I'm not going to give it justice at all, but essentially using, you know, some of the patterns from hypnosis and having this hypnotic language, building it into your speeches. And it was just so fascinating, analyzing previous famous speeches, political speeches. The people at the event were just absolutely incredible. We've got coaches and high-level like executives and speechwriters and, you know, me, whatever I do now, right? So it was just absolutely crazy. Now I'm in Vegas and I'm just seeing things differently. I'm having interactions with people who I've been at previous events with and just hearing language and patterns. I'm getting super into linguistics and the impact that this communication and the science of communication has on the brain. Because when we're talking about designing events and experiences that change mindset and behavior, yes, I'm an expert in communication and in marketing and in event design, and I've got psychology, but we always treat everything like it's so siloed, and it's not siloed. Everything interacts with each other, and the things that you think don't apply, they do apply. And so that's been really interesting for me to learn how all the pieces fit together. It's fun to be recording my own podcast right now, actually, because I've been on a lot of other people's podcasts lately, which is a huge blessing and super humbling. But it is interesting. I haven't had guests on my podcast in a couple seasons. It's just been me. And it definitely does change the dynamics when you do have someone to rumble with or someone to interview or someone who's interviewing you. Maybe that's something that I'll do again in future seasons because I really did like having that difference of thought. The reason why that had stopped in the past, one, for a variety of reasons, scheduling was just absolutely crazy and hectic. And then people kept canceling. And then people were pitching themselves to me to like get on the podcast. And I was getting a lot of LinkedIn messages. And I was just like, you know what, for 2 seasons, we're just going to go back and just have me talking. But a second part of that decision was because everyone I talked to, we would hang up the podcast and they'd be like, oh my gosh, I learned so much through this podcast. I've listened to your other podcasts and you really should be running trainings or classes in this. And it's one of the reasons why at the university, I teach 1 to 2 classes a year in event design. And we used to always work with clients and external partners. And actually last year or the year before, for the first times in since I've been teaching, you know, part-time for over a decade, I decided we were going to do events internal for the industry because we were just light years ahead and we were piloting and we were truly using design thinking principles. We were kind of setting the scene. We were written up in and doing case studies and white papers and really kind of launching the industry into the things they should be doing. And it's hard to find clients with existing events to let us have this playground. And this actually led to an opportunity that I have coming up, which is something that I briefly talked about in the podcast before, but I want to really dive into it because I do think it's important. And that is sponsorships. So as we're looking at designing events and experiences that change mindset and behavior, there's really two or three different models if we're talking about it. You can have a corporate event where a company or organization is paying all of the bills. You can have an kind of association or member-based type of an event where your attendees are paying the way, paying the bills to come through their registration and their membership prices. Or you could just have, like, you know, a private event that's not necessarily affiliated with an organization. The sponsorship makes a big difference in how events can be run and structured. So they are super important to pay attention to. Well, back in 2019 and beginning of 2020, right before COVID hit, I kind of launched this new sponsorship model. And again, I've briefly talked about this on the podcast, so I'll make sure that that podcast is linked in the show notes if you want to go back and listen to it. But this was really seen to be super innovative in terms of restructuring the thought process behind sponsorships. I was super excited and pumped. IAEE, the International Association of Exhibitions and Events, they ran their annual conference in December called Expo Expo. And this year it's in Dallas. And they've asked me to come and speak on stage about innovative sponsorships. So it's fresh in my mind, all the things that we've been doing and our story and how we got here. And it's really, really valuable. And still, I've been doing this for 3 to 4 years now, and it's still innovative because people aren't doing it. And people, when they hear about it, they're like, oh my gosh, we're going to do that. And I will say double or triple digit organizations have started doing it since they've heard about it. And who knows how many the podcast has reached and is doing it, but I know probably 50 to 100 personally that I know, but so many are not. And so it's worth another podcast episode. So sponsorship models. The traditional sponsorship model is kind of your metal tiers, right? Your bronze level, your silver, your gold. And maybe you'll have some fun naming ones. If you're doing a particular event, maybe you're like the silver and red or the scarlet sponsor or the domino sponsor, whatever it is, you could have some cool names. And they're very traditional. Like, okay, you are going to do a gold sponsorship. So the gold sponsorship includes these 8 things. And then somewhere along the way, you know, a couple decades ago, we decided that we were going to chunk out different elements of our event and sell them as sponsorships individually. So that could be your name tag sponsor where you get your lanyards. It could be your key card sponsor for your hotel keys. And then we added the super exclusive language of saying like only one available or only 2 available. And we have this breakout sponsor and we have this food sponsor and this break sponsor. And you get the idea. And yeah, that pays the bills. Right? These organizations, they sign up for it. They know, okay, I'm paying this much money and this is what I get and whatever. And maybe they see ROI. Maybe they don't see ROI. Maybe before COVID, they didn't see an ROI and now they're required to show an ROI, as many organizations are. And I just didn't think that this was like, you can't customize this at all. And of course, we all know that everything's negotiable. So any sponsor could reach out to me and say, hi, Kristen, I would love to sponsor your event. Let's negotiate. But that adds additional steps, additional hours, all of this additional work, customizing contracts, whatever, that to me was not really necessary. Why can't we just customize this and make that the actual form? So I started really thinking about choosing your own ending books and choosing your own adventures and how you could pick and choose how the story plays out. And I said, okay, well, how can I do something like that? Then in true multi-passionate fashion, right, we were talking about earlier, nothing siloed, I started playing around with this concept with other areas of my life. So one area of life, if you didn't know on the podcast, I am certified by Stanford to be a design your life coach. So designing your life. And it's using design thinking for life coaching. So it's a life coach. In that concept, we started playing around with all the design thinking. And when I was going through that certification, I started thinking about your needs and wants list, right? And so they use something similar in a different way than how I'm about to talk about it. But I was in a training a long time ago, and they said, okay, take out a piece of paper and I want you to write down all your needs and wants. People automatically started writing down everything that they needed or wanted in a partner. And it was like, I need them to be this, 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 and this. I want them to be this, 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 and this. And the facilitator at the time, this has always stayed with me. The facilitator at the time said, why is your needs and wants list for somebody else and not for yourself? Why can't you write down everything that you need and want for yourself and then find the people in your life that can fulfill those needs and wants so that way you're always satisfied? Because we should never expect one other person to completely fulfill all of our needs. If I know that I need these six things, I can sit there and say, well, these four things, it's important for me to have in a partner. And this one thing could be met by my brother or my family or my parents. And this one thing is like truly my best friend. Like, why are all of our needs having to be fulfilled with one other person? And it kind of made me think, okay, well, if we have an internal needs and wants list, and then we can go out and find other people who have a needs and wants list, then we can start to match up the things that are mutual, right? Like, you need this and I need this. Like, let's be that accountability buddy or friend or partner, whatever, to get these needs met. I promise you this is going somewhere. Just stay with me for one more minute. So then I'm sitting there thinking, okay, well, the truth is we never really know what's on other people's needs list, right? So I have my needs and wants list, but I'm not out advertising that. And other people have a needs and wants list. And maybe they don't actually know what's on their needs or wants list. So how many of you would sit down and say, well, I don't actually know what I need or want? Exactly. So I decided that for my sponsorship package, it was the exact same thing. I have a list of needs and wants, which is not just money-based. It's branding. It's content. It's a lot of different things for my event. And my potential sponsors also have a need and want list. They're not just piggy banks. They're not just blank checks. They have a ton of things on their needs and wants list that are way beyond the scope of what I would even know about them. I know them in one particular area and they have this grand spectrum and I don't know what all of those are. And if you're talking about 20, 30, 40 sponsors or more, then it would be impossible for you to keep up with all of that every single year with every single leadership change. So I just decided that I was going to write out a sponsorship list, a choose your own a sponsorship list. And if you chose this level, you get to choose five things out of this entire list that aligns with your needs and wants. And then if you choose this level, you get to choose five things from this list plus five things from the lower list that align with your needs and wants. And if you choose the top list, then you get to choose, you know, 15 things from any of these areas. And it was wildly successful. Not only was it wildly successful, but it was so much cheaper for me because the things we typically give away in sponsorship packages are things that cost us money, like free tickets to this or, you know, free swag or something that has an actual dollar amount to it. You know, even free tickets have a dollar amount to it. Because of food. And the things that they were choosing were not even those things at all. It was like introducing the speaker or being a room monitor or being on a podcast because you're trying to show yourself as being a content expert. And it allowed them the opportunity to customize to what they needed and wanted and allowed me to still get my money that I needed for my event, but also to better serve the needs of my strategic partners, but then also for my attendees. And this was truly what I would call win-win. So if you're coming to Expo Expo in IAEE in December, then I will be speaking about this from stage. I'll be showing examples from several different events, and I'm going to be providing a database list of all the different things that I've put on all these different levels before. And if not, then you can definitely reach out or let this thought just ponder in your head, like, how can you re-envision your sponsorship? I am on this podcast to serve all of you, to fill up your knowledge bucket, your think easy space inside of your brain. It's like a speakeasy, but with thinking, think easy. I love that. And let me know what you want me to talk about. Send me a message, send me a text or a LinkedIn, or send me an email. All of it's linked in the show notes. And I truly, truly hope that this podcast episode has spurred some cool ideas. Make sure to rate and subscribe. And I will be podcasting from my home office on my good microphone back in Nebraska next week. Until then, have a wonderful week.
Thanks for listening to the Experience University podcast. Stay tuned for our next episode.